This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. Welcome back. Welcome everyone to joining us here on the podcast. Devin, what do you got for us tonight?
Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Classic.
It is a classic. I was always a little like, I was like, why a gift horse? You know, like, so like Mr. Ed is like, never look a gift horse.
Well, I know you, you find out a lot from the horse bites teeth, you know?
Okay. Right.
So, you know, health, age, that type of stuff. So you find out a lot. So it's, you know, it's saying don't look too much. Obviously we know what it's saying. Don't look too much into a gift, but it's like, someone's giving you something that's worth a good bit, right, and you're still checking it out, going, I don't know, it's a little old, it's this, it has, it's like, it's still a gift horse.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I never put that together. I never knew what that meant, gift horse in the mouth, right? So never look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't look at a gift horse mouth, you know?
Someone's giving you a horse.
Right, exactly.
That's it. That's the end. Like, either you want it or you don't. Yeah.
You're right. It's a gift
or
it's
not. Yeah, don't be, well, I don't know, this one's a little old, this one hasn't been good. It's like, okay, do you want it or not?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why that popped in my head, but I feel like a lot of the, just in general, any views on YouTube is kind of a gift horse. Kind of YouTube's right. A gift horse.
Right, right.
All the social media is a gift horse. And me and Scott with the crafty studio now, like, just trying to figure out how to get views and what to do and this and that. It's the same thing we go through with our channel.
Right. Yeah.
It's so tough, but eventually we just go, like, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
No matter, you know, you have hundreds of people watching the video no matter what, so let's just
keep on doing it.
It's all right. And that's, I don't know. So just in general, watching, you know, social media stuff, it's such an amazing thing.
Right.
Let's just do it or don't.
Yeah, it's this free opportunity to be part of a community and to get your stuff out in the world where, say, 20 years ago, right, 15, 20 years ago, there was no opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you had to pay thousands of dollars to have an ad or to be on a TV show, and you had to pay productions. Like, now you can do it all yourself, put it out there. You have this huge network, this huge community, this huge, like, you know, avenue to spread your voice and show what you do and have a giant network of people watching you. And, so.
It's, being thankful for all that stuff. But also, and I mean, it's not just Scott, obviously, but I was thinking of, but Scott also puts a lot of money into these things. So then it's a little different. Right. It's not necessarily a gift horse anymore.
Right.
He's buying a stallion and wants to make sure it can do its thing, you know?
That's the thing too. It's like, you know, we have this opportunity to have this kind of free advertisement for all the stuff we do, you know? So we're now used to that being an avenue. And so when you're expecting it to be an avenue that you're used to and it doesn't do that, then it's a different ball game. You know, you're like, well, I'm expecting this because it's happened in the past or whatever, you know. This free thing that is given to me is now being taken away somewhat. You know, and it's not exactly, but you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I was just looking at Wesley Treat.
Yep.
Where he was complaining about views, and that is, we've all done it. You get to a certain point, and then it drops down to a point.
Yep.
But it's also, the grass is always greener. His 16,000, 20,000 a video looks good to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It looks bad to him at the time, because he's had ones in the 100,000s and millions, just like it did for us at a time.
Right, yep.
But you know, it's like, all right, well, it's, you're still getting views.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, just... I remember Joe Robinette talking about that, you know, the outdoor guy, and he was saying, you know, he came on, he was like, you know, I want to put these videos out, but, you know, I used to get 100,000 views overnight, 200,000 views. Now I'm only getting like 30,000 views for 4 or 5 days. You know, it's like, so again, yeah, everyone goes through it. What, what's his name? Owner Kaglar, Dice Never Film. Same thing. Like, if I'm going to put the time and effort to put this up and no one's watching it, then like, what's the point? You know, it's, but that's, yeah, that's just the ebb and flow. That's the waves of social media, you know?
Yeah. And it's really, tough. I like having quality. I mean, we've gone over this all the time. I like having quality work out there.
Right.
As a representation of who we are when we go to a thing like Maker Camp or, I'll be going to the Texas Woodworker Festival with Scott in a couple weeks. You can be proud in what you do just because it's been, you know, it's been done.
Yeah.
And someone says, hey, what do you do? Because they're going to want to know or they're going to look.
Yep.
And you can send them to your page without any hesitancy, without, oh, you know, I got this little thing. Or, you know, I don't do this. It's Yeah, go check it out. We're really proud of it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, and that's the other thing too. Like we've had some success in YouTube, right? And so it's like, and we still have success. It's just like, it goes up and down over the years. And, but having that, like having videos that have had success that gives you a little bit of clout, you know, it's like, yeah, check it out. Like we're really proud of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the YouTube community has recognized that and has given us some views, some big mm-hmm. views on some videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, it's like, how do you pander to an algorithm? You know, like, do you pander to an algorithm? Is it about, like, is it about the views from the community? You know, do a million people who really don't care about your channel matter for one video when, like, you know, you're going to have, say, 1,000 people watch it who are really into it and, you know, communicating with you? I mean, it matters when the money is on the table, you know, but, like,
you know. That's what you're dependent on, but...
Right. Yeah.
Anyone dependent on AdSense is, you just can't be. You either are getting so many views that you do have good money coming in on AdSense, but if you're getting that many views, your main source of money is not AdSense. It's a weird catch.
Yeah.
It's not even a catch 22, but it's that thing where it's, it's the, you know, it's when celebrities get free shit.
Yeah. Right.
They don't need it, but they get free meals all the time and free things. It's the same thing with people with a lot of views. They don't need the AdSense money because they have sponsors. Right.
Yeah.
And they have all that. And that's where the real money comes from. Right. But,
yeah, people recognize that, you know, you have some following. So they're willing to give you this stuff and do more stuff with you because that's, they're going to get a piece of that following, you know? And it's like, they don't need this stuff. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, we before we started, we were like, okay, we got to be maker centric.
Yeah.
We got to talk about maker stuff. Maker stuff. But and now I'm going to already veer off that. What is maker stuff? Cause I was editing stuff at home. And the office exploded when there was a thunderstorm. I have two battery backup systems, one on my PC and one across the room on the router and internet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge lightning strike nearby. And then both of my battery backup power strips started cracking and sparking. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, unplugged them both.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, it fried my router, my Wi-Fi. What do you call it? A web. One of the
satellites or whatever.
Yeah, one of those. And then it fried my Ethernet port on my PC.
Dang. Holy cow. That's a crazy back surge.
So I think what happened, because we talked on another episode, like when something happened, remember, I was like, it's weird. One thing went off and they both went off.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some circuit in here that probably had been compromised, or the two battery backups had already been compromised.
Right.
That's why they say you're supposed to replace these things every like 5 years, because even a power strip, they just go bad. That whatever they get hit a few times and then their defense is gone.
That's like a helmet protects her. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You smash your helmet on the ground a few times. It's like, well, everything it's supposed to do, all the crumple zones are gone.
Yep.
So my internet crumple zones are gone.
Oh man.
And Oh man, so I went out and got a bunch of new stuff. And
did you? Is there any like? Cheap. I mean, you have homeowners insurance, but I wonder if that covers any of that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
That's always one of those things. Like, insurance is great, right? Because it covers the big stuff. But if the little, it's the little stuff that, like, if you want to claim it, you know, there's that. You have your what's it called? You know, deductible, which is a certain amount, and then, yeah, right. And then, but then if you start claiming stuff, then your rates go up. You know, then you're yeah, like, oh, well, yeah, now we got to pay more. It's, be like, hey, what are you talking about?
I know. It's such a, it's you know, insurance is just, if you really are like, hey, I can't foot that bill. Right, I got no choice. Yeah. You can raise my rate, but I'm not going to drop $7,000 on
right.
a fender, or I'm not going to, you know, it's just like, well,
yeah,
we don't have it right now, or we don't have that to spend, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so that was the one. So there was Makery. I was in the middle of editing, but yeah. everything exploded.
So well, I have, yeah.
I've reset some stuff, and yeah.
All right. So do you still, like, are your backup battery banks that are, like, done? Like, you had to replace all that
They're
stuff?
They're done, so I've replaced them with power strips. I'm going to order some. Hopefully there's a nice gotcha. Labor Day sale. I actually, now I'm on wireless, which I wasn't on my PC. I was always, like, I wanted it wired.
Yeah, so. Right.
But this wireless stuff is so good now. It's running. Yeah. It's running actually faster with a new router and stuff. It's all running faster than the wired one did.
Jeez, that's like, crazy.
Yeah, I know. That's so I crazy. Got this little antenna.
Yeah,
sitting behind my monitor, but it's nice. The antenna was the cheapest part. That was only like $20. Everything else was crazy expensive.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Speaking of like backups and things that fail over time, so. I had a Citizen EcoDrive watch that my wife got me, maybe not last Christmas, maybe last Christmas. I can't remember. It's either last Christmas or the year before.
It's a famous watch.
Yeah, right.
People exactly. always ask. That's one of our most asked questions on the channel.
What watch is that?
What's
yeah.
So what's that watch?
And I've been wearing Citizens for a couple years because I think maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I wanted to switch to a battery-less watch, right? So I was like, I don't really want to have to change batteries anymore. So, you know, what are my options? And your options are obviously, like, mechanical, where you twist it. You know, like, old-school watch, you, like, twist it every day. You know, you set it. there's automatic, which is inside of the watch body. There's a little pendulum that swings as you move your hand, and that automatically always keeps it wound. And then the third option is solar, right? So, like, Citizen has the EcoDrive. So there's, you know, as long as you have any light, could be artificial light or natural light, it'll charge the battery. So it continues to charge. So I decided to go with Citizen, you know, with EcoDrive. And so I've been wearing it for much years. And those, yeah, exactly. That's like the people asking what it was. But my last one got a crack in the crystal and I didn't get it fixed in time. It got a little bit of moisture inside and it was working for a while, but it was a little rusty and then it started not working great. So my wife got me a new one, and I've had that for a couple years, and that one also, like, it got a little chip in the crystal, you know, the glass that's on top, so a little chip in the crystal, so I was going to go, we did Governor's Cup, and then I did Lake George, and then this, we went to this river last weekend, or yeah, 2 weekends ago, yeah, Shenandoah River, actually really close to where your buddy used to have that place, or what is it, you know, on the Shenandoah, where it's all windy and like super slow, and all those like great camps and stuff, so we were real near there, near like Front Row, Virginia.
Yeah.
And so before I did all that stuff, I wanted to get the crystal fixed so that way I could go swimming and stuff and it could get wet and I wouldn't have to worry about it. So I went to this place kind of local to me here and I talked to the guy and he was like about to go on vacation. So he's like, I think I can get it done. You know, leave it here. I'll see what I can do. I'll try to fix it. So he like calls me a couple of days later and he has it done. Which is like, awesome. Great. So, you know, new crystal fixed. Good to go. So I do Governor's Cup. It's great. You know, I'm not really in the water or anything there. It's fine. And then I go to Lake George and the first day I get there, I jump in the water and the whole face of the watch just fills with water. I was like, what the heck? You know, I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, like I just got it fixed. Like, so, you know, I'm like, obviously for me, I'm like, well, that's this guy's fault, right? Like, of course, whatever he didn't do something right. And it's not sealed, but he went on vacation for 2 weeks. So then like last week I went back and talked to him And, you know, he gives me the whole rigmarole and whatnot. He talks me around circles and how it's, like, not his fault and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, when he replaced the crystal, it comes with a new gasket, and he put the new gasket in the crystal. And then he was like, you know, I was like, well, yeah, but it's, like, it's rated for 100 meters. You know, it's, like, it should be waterproof. And it was waterproof before I brought it here, and now it's not. Like, you know. And so, you know, he's like, well, you know, 100 meters really isn't, like, waterproof. It's really, like, best for, like, splashing and maybe like the bare minimum of light is swimming and, you know, washing your hands. I'm like, really? That's ridiculous. And if it says like 100 meters, it should be 100 meters. Yeah. And so I was like, well, can you give me a discount on, you know, or whatever? Can you give me like a city? He sells Citizens there at this jewelry store and watch repair place. And he's like, okay, I can, you know, I can give you, I can sell you the watch for cost price. Like, I won't take my markup, which he said is usually between 15 or 20, depending on the watch. You know, that's what they're marking it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I kind of looked through what he had. He didn't really have anything there that I wanted. And the ones that I might have been interested in were in the, like, $300 price range, which is out of my price range right now. You know, I'm not going to spend that on a new watch. Sure. So I'm talking a little more, and he's like, you know, and I was like, well, can you order a watch? You know, can you order one from Citizen, you know, and get it for me, and then I'll get it, buy it from you, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I got to order like 10 if I'm ordering places, you know, I got to do bulk orders. I can't do individuals, blah, blah, blah. He also said, he was like, I can do a rebuild on the watch. So I can take it all apart, clean everything and fix it. And that'll cost $175. He's like, I can do that. He's like, what I'll do is, like, if I do that and I do all that and it doesn't actually fix it, I won't charge you. He's like, but if it does, you know, I'll charge you, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, well, he's like, you know, if it's really important, you know, if it's, you need this watch. And I'm like, fine, whatever. No, I don't want to do that. You know, still, it's out of my, you know, I'm not really wanting to pay that. And I didn't want to pay him that to do that either. So,
sure. Right.
Yeah. So I leave. Actually, right before I left, he's like, you know, how do you feel? Are you healthy? And I'm like, yeah, great. He's like, well, at least you got your health. I'm like, really? You're going to give me that? He's like, there are people who come in here or like feel shitty all the time and they always watch and da, da, da. I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah. Don't try to like say like, oh, you know, your watch, you know, I fucked up your watch, but at least you're healthy. You know, like,
that has nothing to do with it.
I know. Right. Exactly. That has nothing to do with
it. Hey, did you get laid recently? Yeah. What's that have to do with it? Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. The watch
thing isn't cool.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make it any better. Like, right. It still sucks. I'm still out $100, which I paid him to fix it.
Good,
you know,
on the,
like,
other thing.
Yeah, I don't have to go complain there because I'm.
You
should have
been like, "Hey, you know, I got to buy a new truck. That's not cool. What about that?"
Right, exactly. Yeah.
At least your truck isn't broken. Well, it is. What about that?
Yeah. So I like started doing a little bit of research, and I'm like, okay, well, I told Nicole, and Nicole was saying the same thing. She was like, I don't know what to do. I can't really buy a new Citizen watch right now because the ones that I want are in the like $200 to $250 range. That's usually kind of that price range for the Citizen EcoDrive chronograph, which is what I want, which has the timer on it. And I was like, well, do I buy like a cheap watch for now? Cause I need a watch. And then later when I can get the Citizen, I'll do that. And Nicole was like, well, that's kind of silly. You know, it's like, if you're going to buy it, just buy it. And, you know, so we're kind of going back and forth. And so I was like, well, let me start looking for like a Timex Expedition, like what I had in high school, you know, like a $20 watch or a $40 watch, something like that, you know. I'll get something like that, and then I will, like, when I'm going camping or going swimming, I'll just wear that watch, and then when I'm, you know, if I want a nicer watch, I can switch to the other watch. And so, like, I started looking up, and I started looking on Timex website and looking on Citizen website and looking at all these watches, and I'm looking at the information they have about their like waterproof ratings, you know, and sure enough, it's exactly what he says. Like, everything on the Citizen site and also on the Timex site, it's like, okay, if you have a 50 meter watch, it's rated for like light rain and wetness and like very minimal swimming, no scuba diving, no diving, you know, it's like 100 meters is like, yeah, you can swim in it, light swimming, maybe scuba diving. And then like 200 meters is more or more is a dive watch, right? They're rated to like whatever, you know, you can use them to dive, and everything else is like, and they're really not rated to be, you know, like fully waterproof. So I'm like looking, and I go to Timex, and then I actually found the watch, which you commented on, and I posted on Instagram today because I just got it. So this is it's a Timex, which I love because it has Indiglo. So like the main things I need my watch for I use it obviously to tell time often. And I do, I'm, you know, a teacher, so I'm always like looking at my watch and, you know, making sure class is going, moving around. So I have it for that. I use it for sailing, for timing starts and timing races and stuff. And then, you know, when I'm in, you know, I'm sail at night or doing things or camping at night, where I want some type of glow. Like, I want to be able to see it at night.
Sure.
And the citizen had, like, a glowing face, like the numbers and the hands glow, but, you know, that only lasts for, like, an hour or two after dark, and then it's, like, gone. Right. So, you know, I could, like, shine my flashlight on it, and it kind of recharges it, but that's
then,
not, you know.
That's a, yeah, then you've already lit up your watch face, so you're good.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't need to. Yeah, right. So I was like, okay, well, look, and so Citizen, I mean, Timex actually sells chronograph watches, which have like the multiple faces and then the timer and the stopwatch action on the timer. Yeah, that's nice. And they have this cool line called the Waterbury line, which is when the Timex's original company was the Waterbury time company or something, or clock company, and that's out of Waterbury, Connecticut.
What is the what's that Timex called?
It's a Timex Waterbury. It's called the Waterbury, and there's a whole line of Waterbury watches. I can't remember what exactly. So it's a Timex chronograph, Waterbury. And they have a few chronograph Waterburys, but this is the one that has the white dial around the face, and it doesn't have numbers on it. So it's like, it doesn't have like the main, you know, 1 through 12 numbers on it. But it has just the white line, and it's like a dark gray face with a white lettering and white and then silver. So it's a pretty sweet watch. But yeah, so it was $100. And Timex has like a first time online. If you purchase for the first time from their website, they do a 15% off. So I ended up like, you know, which basically cut off the like shipping and handling stuff, whatever taxes. Yeah. So yeah, so it's just over $100, like 102 or something for the watch. Yeah. So, and that's like a reasonable, you know, it's like for a chronograph, which I wanted the timer. And so now I've got the timer and I have the watch, which is, this is rated for, I think it's for 50 meters. Yeah, 50 meters. So, you know, I'm not sure if I will be swimming with it anymore. You know, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious, I think, but, you know, it's rated for it. It does the timer, and it has Indiglo, and you can't beat Indiglo. It's like such an awesome, like, you know, what a great way to light up a watch. So.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. So I'm very happy with it. I've been like dying for these last like, you know, a couple weeks without a working watch. It's been killing me. So.
Yeah. I like the one I was looking at. The ones on sale right now are the Expedition.
Yeah.
And yep. you can get those for like $36.
Yeah.
And they're really nice looking. They're very clean, and they're very like subtle, either a darker silver or a black, you know, and they have a million band colors, and they're really, and they have the, I mean, it's no timer, but you know, it's got the date and it's got the watch and it's got the Indiglo.
Yeah. And you're talking about like an analog watch, not a digital, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, it's, yeah, that's such a good, like, it's what they call like the field watch, right? So that's like that traditional field watch. It's like the military field watch. It's got like, you know, the timer, the date, I mean, not the timer, just like the date and the big numbers, nice clean, you know, band, like.
Yeah. It's a nice, nice clean look.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So I considered that because I was thinking like, maybe I'll get one of those and then, you know, and then get a Citizen with the chronograph for like sailing and stuff. And, but, it's a good compromise. So.
Yeah. The timer's nice for sure.
Yeah,
watch talk. Nice. That, at least that's
well. That was that. Different. Yeah, and that was that. Like, you know, thinking about like built-in, you know, things that go bad. And he was saying too, he's like, you know, all your gaskets on those go bad. You know, after a year or two, you really should send them back and get them like refurbished so they do all new gaskets. And especially with a chronograph, where you're often like pushing the buttons, you know, to be waterproof, it has to. Like buttons are going in and activating things inside, so there's got to be some type of gaskets to keep them waterproof. So,
right, but it's also, we've talked about this a little bit with certain people who sell stuff a lot, especially small businesses. It's not worth $100 or your 2 hours to turn people down.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's
really not. Cause
I know, and I'm not the person to give like a bad review, but
exactly, right. It totally failed. If you were bitching about, hey, there's a scratch or there's something, or I saw this that, it's like, no, it totally failed after I paid you to fix it. So just make it, if he would have made it right that one time.
Yeah.
And then if it failed after that, you would go, okay, it's not on him then. It's like, okay, whatever this is. If he should have explained it to you. Look, he should have explained everything you just explained to me.
Right. Yeah.
50 means this, 200 means this.
Yeah.
I put the new gasket in. they don't always work like that, but look, I will take care of it now. I'll do the same thing again, and just be careful with it, because I don't think you should swim in it with the lake. That's what he should have said.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then if it broke again, then you go, well, I told you. I gave you more information.
Right, exactly.
And hey, maybe buy this watch, and if you have any issues, come in, and I'll give you like a deal.
Yeah.
And he would have had you as like a watch customer for the rest of your life.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Even if he would have said, like, if he would have done his offer, which was like, all right, you know, whatever happened, it's not working. I'll do my $175 fix on it. I'll take it all apart. I'll clean everything. I'll oil everything. I'll put it all back together and you're good to go. There you go. Like, if at that point it doesn't work, I'm sorry. I've done, you know, I've given you like your money back plus an extra money, like the 75, blah, blah, blah on top of it. Like, I would have been super happy about that. Like, okay, thanks. You know, I would have given it to him. He would have done everything he could. Ideally, you know, maybe it comes back to me working, maybe not. But yeah, I don't know. You know, or he's like, yeah, you know, I see. Like, obviously it was, see, the thing too is like when he gave it back to me, it was working, right? But then I went swimming and then it got filled with water, and of course there's like rust inside and whatnot. And but, you know, or if it's like, you know, he offered me like, okay, I, you know, give me whatever, like give me my money back's worth of a discount, right? At least for what I paid him to fix it, which was $100, which was the, I think it was $60 for the crystal plus $40 for his time, you know, whatever.
Like, right. Working pay.
But he didn't. So yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
like, he did his best. He was, I could tell he was trying to like talk me into being a good, can still a customer. You know what I mean? Like, he was really trying to give me as much information as he could without costing him any money, you know, like,
exactly. And eventually it's like, hey, talk is cheap. Either do something to help me out here or,
right.
Or we're like, I'm not coming back, and you're not going to come back. You're not going to tell anyone to come back. So
no. Yeah.
Business like that does not last, but
right.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do? But that's okay. You know, everybody can't, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I guess I've learned a lesson, and like I said to Nicole, I was like, I'm not, you know, I have no shame. Like, I'm not like ashamed to wear a cheaper watch, like a Timex. I just don't like, I was like, I like the chronograph. I like the look of it, you know, and I could also buy a cheap Timex watch to go camping and stuff. You know, like, I like to have a nice looking watch on my wrist, but you know, I don't care really what the brand is, as long as it works the way I want it to. It looks nice. You know?
To have like, some snobbery in watches is a, you can never chase that, because your citizen seems like a POS to real watch people.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just a cheap little $300, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah,
it's
like, right.
But because when you can spend $100,000 on a watch, it's there's no end to the snobbery, the levels of snobbery, which is, it is silly. I mean, really, I would max out it. But I think most people would, you know, like,
a
couple hundred bucks, or that's it. Right. Like, you go higher than that, it's a crazy thing. It's just
it's a status.
You're a collector now.
Yeah,
it's either you're chasing something or you're like collecting a thing that it's a strange thing to go down that path, but a very elite thing to go down.
Yeah. If you're right. And like we were talking to Evan Watson, the hand engraver, when we had him on the podcast, you know, he was talking about like, you know, his watches, which were a couple $1,000, you know, and on the higher end, depending, but he's got like a ton of, you know, like customization into it. He's building everything. He's like,
doing, and then, and
he's
that,
putting a lot of money into making it and then selling it and his money back, you know, like plus some more, you know,
that's a different line of things that
in
this conversation, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the
custom.
If you're gonna buy the big stuff, obviously, like we say, Rolex or Timex, you can spend unlimited amounts of money on that.
Yeah, right.
If someone's making art,
right,
and custom engravings and cutting, you know, then that's a whole different thing.
Then you're buying art, you know, which has a different level. Yeah,
handmade art, not just. A certain watch that's probably made at the same Taiwanese factory as your $200 one.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, there's no jump there. There's another room where they make $10,000 watches, and then there's another room where they make $300 watches.
Right.
It's probably the same people making them. And then there's another jump where, then you do have German people going in and fixing the timing and all that stuff and this whole...
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like what he said, he was, you know, and I was asking him about like economically priced high-end watch. Those are good watches, you know, that are like, and he's like, oh yeah, there's, you know, like one of the brands that I've actually looked into in years past is Hamilton. But even like a low-end Hamilton is like $900, you know, and then like a medium price Hamilton is like $1,400, you know. It's like, I'm not going to pay $1,000, you know, but, right. But that's from like the perspective of someone who's like a watch guy. He's like, they're really economically priced as far as high end watches, you know, go, that they're still very high quality. Yeah,
it's the whole, I mean, with everything, it's like the knife thing. Some normal person comes in like, look, I can get a Walmart knife that will be sharp enough and
it'll do exactly what you're doing.
Will last me 20 years. And right, there's a certain area of percentages that we're working, and that there's a added benefit,
right? Yeah,
and some stuff just is and isn't to certain people, and it can't be that for everybody. I mean, even us who like knives and like really nice things, we don't own any of those really nice things.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of knife makers say that. Like, I can't afford to keep my own knives. I mean,
other other than you having maybe your own thing that you make for you.
Right, yeah.
That you might sell for a certain amount of money. Yeah. It's we're not collecting and buying stuff. It's just it's not there. Not the cards.
That's right. It's true. But that's okay. And that's why, you know, I like, you know, when I found the kind of happy medium of like a Timex with the Indiglo, but it's a little fancier and it looks a little nicer, like a little bit higher end watch, and, you know, $100. It's like, that's a good limit for me to like feel justified to spend because I need to have a watch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if it's just a watch I had to have, it was like, it's gotta be $100 or less and I have to feel good about it. Or it's just gotta be like $40 and it's only going to do what I need to do until I can buy a one that's a little bit more expensive and, like, you know, fill in that gap. But still that high expensive is like $300 or less. Like, that's about it, you know. And even think like the first one that I got was the Eco Drive. The first one was like $260 or something retail, but I got it through a Joma shop, which is an online watch seller, and I got it for half off, you know. So it's like $120 or something. You know, I bought it was like a Father's Day gift for myself a couple years ago. And then the one I think
you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, right.
I guess when the kids are young, you
can buy your right. I was like, I said to Nicole, I was like, I want to get this watch. I've been, you know, I was like, can I do it for my Father's Day gift to myself? Yeah. Sure.
Speaking of a little, no one knows, but Steve just had a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right, Steve on. And Lisa. Congratulations, Steve. Nice. That's awesome. Dang, that's crazy.
I know. I was so happy. I actually just talked to him today about it and gave...
Nice.
I feel like... We're getting off topic again. It's good to be a hype man for another dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be like, oh, it's awesome.
Yeah,
like, right. It's great. Don't worry. Don't, like... I mean, you worry a normal amount.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's
going to... But it's such an amazing thing. And I went, and it's funny, we both were such like-minded. I was like, I told him that the Jerry Seinfeld quote of, he said, like, before kids, you don't want to hang out with people with them, and you're also not sure what they're doing with their life. And then after kids, you don't want to hang out with people without kids, and you're not sure what they're doing with their life. You know,
yeah, right.
Both sides, you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I can't relate at all.
You know, right. Like, what are you? Yeah, you're just walking around with no kids, and then when you don't have kids, you're like, are you insane to have these kids?
They're so dependent, like, right. So much what time
do?
Consuming.
You do that like every morning. You got to get up with them every morning.
Yeah, why would you choose that?
Yeah, and Steve was like, yeah, you know, I've actually quoted Jerry Seinfeld about parenting multiple times to Lisa. He's like, yeah, she wasn't into it. I was like, but yeah, she so, wasn't. Yeah,
that's great. Nice.
All right, more maker stuff. What do we got?
Maker Swap. We have Maker the Swap. Working Hands podcast. Maker Swap announcement just went up, I think, a week ago now.
The boys.
Yeah, if you're listening and you don't know who the Working Hands podcast, Tony and Keith over at the Working Hands podcast, two really good dudes. We've had kind of mashup podcasts with them before, and we've met and hung out with them for a bunch of times at Maker Camp over the years. They organized and now run each year at Maker Camp the Maker Camp Maker Swap. Yeah. So the way the Maker Swap works is you make something that is what you make the thing that you're proud of that you can do well, and you bring it to Maker Camp and you put it into the Maker Swap, and then at the end of the weekend, you get what someone else made. So everyone who wants to participate brings and kind of puts it in. You get a raffle ticket. At the end, they draw them randomly, and you get something else from someone else. So the whole point is that you're able to kind of like trade with somebody else's high quality thing that they're really proud of, you know, and that's the goal, that everyone's making something that they're really proud of. It's like the best that they can do, or it's something they're really proud of, something they really like, something they're like well known for, or the thing that they love, or maybe they tried to learn something new, but they put a ton of time and effort into it and it turned out really good and they're proud of it. Bring that thing, and then you'll get something back from someone else. So yeah, so Maker Swap's coming up.
So are they both going this year?
Did you I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to check out their pod. I know they just did a Maker Swap Central pod, so I'll listen to
it. Yeah, and I know that Keith will be there because he lives in New York, I think, or he's close by. You know, he's within a couple hours or so. Right, he's always there. He's at all the events and stuff. And
yeah, I saw him on the last Arrested build. I was like, good for you. I know he's been going there a good bit, but I was like, yeah, Keith, right on.
Yeah, right. Working on the truck.
Woody.
Yeah, on the truck.
That thing is so it's cool, great. Man.
Doing the electric and stuff. Yeah, it's a good dude. But yeah, so he'll be there. And Tony is Canadian. He's up in Canada. So I think the last time he came down, he rode his motorcycle the whole way. It's like 10 hours or something.
Yeah, I remember talking to Tony. I definitely had a couple good chats with Tony around the fire pit at night.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he's a good dude, and he's like really easygoing, laid back, you know, chill voice. If you guys, like I said, if you listen to the Working Ads podcast, you'll know Tony's got the deep voice and the blah, 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 I'm Tony, and, you know, he's kind of goes on, like, he's got kind of slow, like, almost like Southern, but not, you know, Canadian. Yeah. So
Northern.
Yeah, or the way north. Yep. And then Keith just got such a fun, like, dry, like satirical kind of sense of humor, you know, and he like plays the part of like the curmudgeon almost, you know, his signature pin that I forget who gave it to him, but someone gave him a pin and it's just the middle finger, you know, like pointing out it says,
oh, no new friends,
no right. new friends. Yeah. Which is just hilarious. You go to Maker Camp where there's like hundreds of people and like we all come together to see each other each year. And because we all love each other, but he's just like, no new friends. It's just so funny. But he's a good dude. And,
it's, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we make a swap. There's a...
Yeah.
I was... Well, we'll see. Working with Scott, I might try to get him to make something, and then I will be his representative.
Hmm.
Or we'll combine some type of thing.
Yeah, right on.
And something cool with resin, and he's doing... Yeah. Scott's getting really good at, obviously, resin pours. Actually, tomorrow, we're, so like I said, I've been going in 2 days a week, and it's a mix of shooting these episodic things, what's going on in the...
Yep, chaotic flux.
It's a mix of
long style, yep.
And me being in there editing while it's going on, which is...
Oh, right on.
Which is nice, because I'll be there editing, and then someone will come over, or...
Right.
Show up, hey, this is happening right now, hey, we're putting the septic and we'll run out and shoot it, or hey, nice. I'm going to paint this and we'll shoot it, or I'm going to build this. So he's doing I've never had their, what's it called, Watchtower Brewing. Have you ever had Watchtower Brewing?
No.
Their logo is a lighthouse with like a Maryland flag.
Yeah, I saw that. I did watch the recent episode of the Chaotic Flux
with
the skateboards and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
you like that?
Yeah, it's great. And I know we talked about this, but like your voice is more in it, right? So you're like kind of pushing in with some questions or stuff, or just talking to you guys. It's like this fun conversation thing going on. So.
Yeah. So, but it was nice to use that. We did episode,
the logo.
Episode three mm-hmm. to have that, but it was nice to have Brandon Novak to.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't done anything with that footage. And I was like, hey, let's use that. Because we were actually literally like in the video, I didn't show much of it.
Right.
But we were walking around. I was like, hey, what's new? I was literally just talking to him, following around, like, what's going on? And then when he actually said, do you know what that is over there? That is where I started it. That was all real. I was like, no. Like, all that stuff. And I was like, you know, looking for him. And then when he pulled it out, I didn't know. And I was like, oh, but he had talked, obviously, about that project.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then when he was like, do you want to talk about it? That was all actual, like, yeah. Like, and then...
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Once he told me about it, I was like, all right, I need that footage.
Yeah.
That's the next episode. We got to put Brendan Novak in it, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then do the other things like the Cal Ripken thing and then whatever else, him talking about scheduling. It's some of that.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, tomorrow we're going to he's doing a big fancy.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A resin pour for that brewery's bar.
Nice.
And it's a full, like, 20-foot round, you know, with, like, three sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Bar, and it's an artistic one. It's not just the clear coat stuff.
Ah, cool.
And it's a fast. It's like a half an hour drying. So he's got him and his helper,
right?
Paul. Paul's gonna go through with the one first coat, and then. He's going to come through with a color, and then Scott's going to come through with the extra colors, because it's like a four-color sparkly thing.
Dang.
And it all has to get done in like half an hour. So it's actually going to be a really interesting... I was like, I was like, you cannot do it without me there. Like, this is the most interesting thing you've done all month, as far as like building.
Yeah, right.
This is going to be so cool to watch, and I want to be like there shooting it.
Yeah, yeah.
This, like, two-person, like, circle of pouring resin in.
Nice.
So we're gonna do that tomorrow. Hopefully it comes out good. And he was like, well, I don't know. You know, it's a lot of resin. And
right.
If we screw it up, I was like, you screw it up, we'll have a really cool bar here in the yeah, mill.
Right.
You put it up here, we'll, like, figure out a place for it.
Yeah.
And also, he was showing me how we did a... It's going to be on episode 5 or something, or 6 maybe. The CNC machine, the Phantom.
Yeah, nice.
So amazing. Like, it's so... Just to cut the shapes you want for the bar tops.
Right, yeah. That's crazy.
He had it done in 45 minutes. You know? Jeez. I mean, he took an hour beforehand to, you know, show the layout to the computer.
Right. Yeah, yep.
But once he put it in, he's just loading up plywood.
Yeah,
and it's cutting the perfect shapes. It's amazing. I mean, obviously that's what big companies do. But to see it happen, like, holy shit! He's just laid it out, you know. And then by the end of, you know, an hour later, he had the bar laid out in the shop. I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's wild. That's awesome. Yeah. So what are you thinking? Like, for do you think about something for the maker swap? Like with some type
right,
of resin?
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna try to convince him to since he can't come either. Resin pour something or a mix, and I'm gonna figure out something to resin pour,
right?
Something really cool or interesting. Or I was trying to convince him to do these 3D print pours where you 3D print something pop culture, like the things I was building, like the AT-AT,
right?
But then you put in LED lights and other things in the scene, like a moving scene.
Right.
Yeah. And then you pour it as like a little like floating shadow box thing.
Right, yeah.
That you can plug in and it lights up and you shine it up real nice.
Yeah, so you're creating like a shadow, like you said, like a shadow box.
Yeah, so it would be like it'd be a
it's
scene
all encased in resin, and clear resin.
Like I wouldn't feel as bad. You know, I'm not just going to give somebody something 3D printed.
Right.
But if we were to light it up and make a, what do you call them? What's a little scene called?
What's it called?
When people
box
make those.
Thing. Yeah, right. I forget. Yeah.
Diorama.
There you go.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's it.
So if we were to work on a diorama with things and different skills and the resin pour to make it look like, like, let's say it was a big walking AT-AT. You could do like snow and stuff. Like it would look when you light it up, it would look something like that. But
and you could do some of the like the tents, make it look like it's at Maker Camp. You know, like walking through like the Maker Camp with like the tents and maybe like cool. You know, like the little peacock cage and maybe something that's like a timber frame thing. You know?
Yeah. Right. Right. It could be right. It could be like a a robot or something in the in the maker camp walking through.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like, you know, again, then so that's like what we're talking about is it's not just a 3D printed thing, or it's not just a straight resin, cutting board.
Gonna,
you know,
it's like going to take a lot of doing and
thought. Yeah, yeah, it's like you're putting some time and effort into creating something that's like interesting, really cool looking. You know, right. You put some time and thought into it, and it has some meaning to it. You know,
and, right? And it would mainly be from Scott because the artistic part is the way he's going to pour the resin.
Right.
Yeah. And in reality, he could do a great resin pour cutting board or something. Or one of his glasses, like his coffee glasses or a set.
Yep.
You know, that would be really cool because he makes awesome, like, you know, we have a couple where it's the wood
and resin and stuff.
Coffee
and
on the bottom. Those are awesome.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so if you had a set of those, that could be really cool. You know, maybe like some type of simple, like, or, you know, like a leather carrying or, you know, wood or leather carrying thing for it or something, you know, like. And that's the thing. Sometimes it's about the presentation, too.
Sure.
It's like this thing that's really cool, but you also present it really cool. Like it's got some things on top of it, you know, put some time and effort.
So what are you making?
So my thought this year, so I was actually like the other day I was like 3D-printed
Star Wars chicken walker. Gonna be sweet.
you hit the nail right on the head.
Damn.
Weird.
What's funny?
Funny you say that.
Don't you do it.
So I was in my shop recently and Corinne, she was working on a sculpture for school. So she had this kind of like optional summer sculpture thing that she could do. And it was like, hey, if you're going to do, you know, because her focus in school, she's going to her sophomore year of high school now. So her focus at her art school is sculpture. And then like she'll also do painting and drawing. Everybody does painting and drawing, but she'll do sculpture as well as her focus throughout the next 3 years. An optional thing was like, you could do a sculpture and they gave you some guidelines. Like, if you're going to do it, try to do this. Like, you know, and I forget exactly what it said, but her design, which I actually, I had it on some stories yesterday, or 2 days ago, was like, if you take a balloon and you cover it in string, like you put glue in string and stuff, and then you pop the balloon, you're left over with this kind of web of string in a sphere. Yeah. So she had this like idea to have a half dome of string, and the string was all kind of in ways where, like, when you were little and you did that thing where you drew like an L shape and then you connected the line to the different dots at the different times, so you get this cool like turning web drawing type thing.
Yeah, right.
So she did that with the string, so they all kind of moved around and they created some holes and some pattern in the string. And then she wanted to do these like metal spikes coming out of the middle, like, so you have this kind of like soft string outer shell with like these sharp spikes, metal spikes. So she was like doing some stuff with like, we just got some quarter inch rod and cut it to length and sharpened them to points. And then she was just kind of bending them either like at the vise, or she was using a hammer to kind of bend some on the anvil, but we weren't heating them. She was just kind of doing these like general, kind of like if you imagine a jellyfish upside down, you know, so all these like spikes coming out, kind of wiggly spikes coming out of different angles. Okay. So I was like going through my hammers and I'm like, I pulled up the hammer that I love, my favorite blacksmithing hammer. It's a half, what's it called? I can't think of the name of the hammer, but it's got like a round head on one side and then a flat head on the other side. So, a rounding hammer, that's what's called, rounding hammer. So you have like, you know, one that's a little bit more domed on one side and one that's flat on the other side. So you basically have like a peening hammer on one side and a flat hammer on the other. And the one I have is about 2.5 pound. I got it from Portland Ironworks. He actually sent it to me. It's awesome. It's my favorite hammer. I love it. It's great. Mm. And so I was thinking like, I'd like to make another hammer or get another hammer that's similar to that, you know, and maybe another, like I'd like another one that's around that same pound just so I can have multiple because I really like it and I'd like to do it. And I, not too long ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I customized a head that I had that was like a 3 pound kind of cheap head. And I ground it and I ground it down to about 2.25 pounds, which is what I was aiming for. And it's a cross peen hammer. And it turned out really good. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll make another hammer. Like that would be fun. You know, I can get a 3 pound head and I can grind it down and I can get it to like be a rounding hammer. So, you know, round on one side, flat on the other. And then I had the idea. I was like, oh, maybe if I do that, we can do a video of it. Maybe that can be my maker swap item, because I still want to make one for myself. But I just think that's like, it's a cool project. It's something that it's not like, it's not going to take me hours and hours and hours to do, but I'm going to put, you know, once I realize I want to make it, the maker swap item, I was like, well, I could do, you know, some cool custom and, you know, like, file work on it. I can do, you know, I can etch some stuff on it with the laser etcher, and then, you know, customize it. And it's like what I've learned to love over the years of blacksmithing, and then making that for someone else, you know, customizing a head to the things that I like about the hammer for blacksmithing, you know, kind of a multi-use two-sided head with like the handle length that I really like and the shape of the handle that I really like and all those things from different hammers I've had and kind of combine it into one. So that's my thought. So that's what I'm going to be working on. And I talked to you about like, let's do it as a video, because for one, that'll just be fun. So whoever gets it, they'll have like the video of the making of, which is always great. But then I was like thinking about a video aspect. I'm like, well, maybe we can do like a Harbor Freight hammer, you know, so it's going to cost like $15 or something, and then customize that. So that's kind of also an angle. It's like, how do you take, you know, a cheap hammer and make it into something that is a little bit more customized, a little bit better. The weight might be better. The shape is better. You know, the faces are going to be polished and cleaned, and then, you know, like some decorated work, and like kind of give yourself something that you're really excited to use rather than just a tool for purely work's sake. You know, it's like make something that gives you the fizz. So I thought that'd be kind of fun. Like start with a Harbor Freight hammer. So like, you know, converting this into this, you know, like
it'd be cool too to make either maybe make one thing with it.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Forge, you know, something with it. Yeah.
Just have a little, like...
Yeah, and give that along with right, it, too.
Right. It could be on the box, or could hang off the hammer. A little bottle opener or a fork or a...
Well, you know what I could do is I could make a, like, a belt loop. You know, like, so it kind of maybe goes down and has, like, a little angle so you can put the hammer on your belt. But also it's, like, a bottle opener, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a belt loop for the hammer, but it's also, I kind of somehow get a little, like, somehow on the side, it's like, yeah, bottle opener, belt loop, hammer holder.
Another thing that if they're not blacksmith, like, if they don't want to use it for blacksmithing, they have a thing made by that hammer.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like, cool, a little, you know, all the little cool things you make that you can actually make in 30 minutes or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I think it'd be cool. And yeah, I had that thought too. I was like, you know, what if someone really doesn't care at all about blacksmithing or hammering, but like everyone going to maker camp and who's going to make something is into making stuff, you know? So like, they could probably all use a hammer, you know, whether it's like using it for blacksmithing or using it for whatever, you know, like it's like a cool, it's like, it's the epitome of like just a tool for tool's sake is a hammer, you know? It's like axes and hammers were like the first tools. So,
right.
Yeah, I did have that too. I was like, you know, it'll be customized, so it'll be like really pretty looking as well, and you know.
Yeah, and like, yeah, if they're not going to use it, they'll either keep it as a thing, because a lot of the maker swap things you're not necessarily going to use, because people use it. It's just about making something you're into, but then having a little thing that they maybe could use, and then also tell that story.
Right.
Yeah. Whether it's a loop with a thing, or just a bottle opener or a fork that. It's in their kitchen, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got this great, you know, hammer thing, and he made this with it. And,
Yeah, so I'm excited. That'll be fun, and, like, I think, you know, it'll make a fun video, and I like kind of the angle of, like, taking this thing that is normal and would work fine and making it into something that's a little bit more customized, and it gets you excited to use it, you know, like, that's one of the things I love about restoring old tools. Not the fact that they're like, you know, an old number four hand plane is going to work, you know, probably the same, maybe not even as good as like a brand new Lee Nielsen, you know, number four hand plane, you know, like with a better steel and, you know, better angles and things that have like come over time. But there's something beautiful in that old piece. And there's something like about taking an old tool and restoring it yourself and cleaning it up. And then you really want to use it, you know, it's like, you have that whole memory behind it, you have the history behind it, and it gets you excited to like pick it up. It's not just a tool anymore. Now it's this thing that you've put a lot of time and effort into, and you know, that makes a difference. You know, it's like buying a nice new tool as well. It gives you that same type of excitement. It's like, ooh, you know, so So there's something really like special about like doing customization, making something your own, and like then you, like I said, you want to use it, and that's the best thing for any maker, is like to really want to go and use those tools. They get you excited to use them. Not, it's just not just a job, or you're not just making something for someone else. You're using the things that you love to make something.
So
I'm excited. It'll be a fun project, and it like popped in my head when I was just thinking about it as something for myself. I was like, I really want to make another customized hammer, and I want to make one that's like, take a 3-pound head that's just a, you know, double-sided flat basically, and then convert it into a rounding hammer, you know, that's the right size and shape and all. And I was like, ooh, that'd be a good one. I can do that for the maker swap. That's perfect. Yeah. Like, you know, it was exciting because I got excited over it for myself, and I was like, ah, that's good. You know, that's what I want. And I think that's what people should do. Like, you should be excited about the thing that you're making, and like, it should be like, you are so excited that it really doesn't matter what you get. You hope that you can find the person that got your thing so you can talk to them about it and like explain why you think it's so cool, you know, or like you hope you get the reaction that they think it's really cool, you know, because you put the time and effort into it to make it cool.
So yeah,
that's everyone's goal in MakerSwap. Do that, and we'll all be happy.
So I've been thinking about what I can produce for at MakerCamp for video wise, because we've done the general thing, we've done the walk around thing, and I was maybe thinking we could do while you're busy, I could shoot a little bit of a series of like 10 minutes with,
right?
So it's like 10 minutes with this person, 10 minutes with that person, and everyone kind of gives their little spiel that they give to whoever's like walking around.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm you know, whatever, if it's the pen making or the blacksmithing or the, you know, all the little things, all the people, the timber framing, all that. And I just walk up to people I know and be like, hey, you mind if I like follow you around for, it'll be like 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, can I hang with you for 20 minutes and you give me like the spiel? And then it doesn't take long. I get to see everyone I want to see and spend some time with them. And then also it could be like a mini series on the channel where we have a bunch of these little 10-minute videos, 10 minutes with this guy, 10 minutes with this girl, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to like hang out and talk to him. And it could be a little vloggy, kind of like what I'm doing with Scott.
Yeah, but right on.
And then literally you don't have to spend a lot of time with him. You just shoot for, like I said, we'll shoot for 20 minutes and I'll edit it down to 10 minutes.
Right, yeah.
And it could just
like
be
a little bit of intro, a little bit of like B-roll of Maker Camp and what they're doing, and the people and stuff.
Hey, this is 10 minutes with this person, and then it just starts, and hey, what's up, blah, 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 and hey, how you doing? And then it just goes into their thing.
Right. Oh, that's cool. That's a good idea. Yeah, because then that gives you, like, you know, you can, you know, like, gives you purpose, not that like you need purpose to be there, but you know what I mean, like, because you feel like you want to make something,
right? We always talk about that, and I enjoy it more when I have a thing like that to do. That is in this maker community, that's my thing, is to make videos. So when I'm there doing the thing that I think I like and I'm good at, I'm feeling good.
And I 100% agree. It's like when we're there, like I don't want to make a video because like I will, and we have over the years because it's like what we do, but I want to experience all the people. But I also, as people who make maker content videos, there's so much to mine there at Maker Camp that could make great videos, you know? So it's like almost seems like a waste if we don't make something while we're there, because it's such cool content, you know, it's stuff that we love, you know, and all these great people coming together, like it's such an opportunity to make good content. And so we're always like, we want to make content. We want to also spend time with people and have fun and like, and not have to worry about it. But it's also like, that's what we do. We make cool content about making stuff. You know?
So it's a mix of, me wanting to see everyone.
Right, yeah.
And having a reason to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, can I spend 20 minutes with you?
Right, yeah.
I'm doing this, like, 10-minute blah, blah, blah thing. Can I just spend, and you just talk to me, give me the spiel, give me whatever you're doing, whether it's Chris Cash rolling around on his cart, like, yelling things at people, or it's whoever, the axe, or this, or that, or you doing the bow. Like,
right, yeah.
If I can get, like, 5 to 10 stories,
right?
Yeah. It'll be really interesting, and it's just a I'm not putting them off too much. I'm like, hey, just do your thing and talk to me for 10 minutes. Like I'm someone coming up to your booth and going, what's this about?
Yeah. Like, you know, I want to highlight in you in a short video on YouTube. So it's like, this one's about you. So like, tell me some cool stuff. Tell me what you're doing. You know, like talk a little bit about your history and make your camp maybe, or, you know, like, cause it's obviously it's narrowed, you know, we're seeing like a narrow image of what people do in this like small amount of time. So it's like, tell me what you do here at Maker Camp. Like, why is this cool to you? You know, why are you focusing on this thing or whatever? Like,
It's like the whole, you know, people, you'll come up to people and talk to them and make little documentaries or this and that, but it's just little versions of, cause I think getting them in there, they're already doing their spiel to everyone about what they do. Give me your spiel for 10 minutes. I just want to hang out with you. And then we'll get this cool, and then I'll chop it up, and it'll be like an interesting video, and then it'll be on the Art of Crescent Ship as a series of, you know, of 10 minutes with.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of like, that's almost what I did last year when I had the DJI. Like I just walked around, and I would kind of walk up and see what people were doing. I'd start to talk to them a little bit. But then I would like break into a little bit more conversation. And so I'd put the camera down, right? Because it wasn't really about like those conversations, but yours could be, right? It's like, let's chat a little bit more, you know, talk to this person, show me what you're doing, like, and then capture all those things. But that's like, people love that. Like, I would spend 10 minutes with people because I'd walk up, I'd see it, and I'd kind of get a little bit of it on camera. And then I put it down and I'd hang out with them for 10 minutes. And we'd be chatting about whatever, you know, and what's going on, what are they doing. And then I'd go on my way and I'd show more stuff and, you know. So it's like, and it was a really cool way to go around, and I talked to like new people, but I also got to like, it was a reason for me to go and see people like Patty and go and see like, and you know, people,
And I don't feel as bad. And I think we know now, we know enough people where I could go up to 5 or 10 people and not be rude or interjecting where I shouldn't. And then, but also if there's someone I don't know that well, I can still kind of do it. Or it can be it can be a topic when we're all hanging out Friday night. Hey, we're doing just like we did the other time where it's like, hey, can I ask you some questions? Hey, I didn't get to you yet. Can I come by for 20 minutes tomorrow and follow you around and talk to you and ask you what you do? Like we're doing a series. Great. So
I think also, I think that's what I'm gonna go with. Yeah, and if you know, if you're talking to people and you don't like it, you know, if it doesn't fill up enough content for their own episode, we could do like, you know, it could be a Maker Camp Shorts, you know, or something, you know, or like a video that has 5 or 6 of them or something where it's like little 2 or 3 minute bits on like these different people who are doing
things. Just let them know, hey, if you're really boring, make it good.
Otherwise, you get demoted to shorts.
You have 20 minutes with me. I don't have 20 minutes with you. You have 20 minutes with me.
Here we
go. Make it good.
Threaten them.
Yeah.
Good threat videos.
I'll delete this right now in front of you. Like, I'm not going to look at it. We got nothing.
Nah, that's no good.
Nothing.
Are we starting over or we got nothing?
Yeah. You want to roll again? You want to try this again? Because we have trash right now. This is trash.
Little do they all know. Oh, that's what it's like in the shop when Devin and I shoot. He's like, are you really going to make, you know, good content tonight or I'm going home?
I'll delete it
right now. There's McDonald's right down the road.
I'm walking, baby.
I'm out.
One more step and I'm walking. I'm walking.
I'll leave right now.
Yeah, that's how I make friends. Insult what their favorite thing.
This better be good.
I don't think so. How about 3 minutes with him? How's that sound? That's about all we got.
Yeah. This is going to be a short one. We're not going to make any money off of this. Thank you very much.
I don't know. A waste of my time. All right. Yeah. You want to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I have one little quick story, though. So going back to Vacation Dustin from the summer.
Here we go.
Our last vacation was to a house on the Shenandoah River. It's like great part of the Shenandoah and the Shenandoah Valley, kind of west of Maryland, where Virginia kind of comes up to the west of Maryland. And there's a great part of the Shenandoah River that zigzags its way through the valley. And it's like these really sharp turns back and forth where they'll be like a mile long and it'll turn like 180 degrees, you know, over the course of like a fifth of a mile or whatever, like a tenth of a mile, make a sharp turn. It'll come back a mile and then it'll turn. It'll go back a mile. And so you get this zigzag river, which moves really slow. And there are tons of great, you know, properties and houses on it because you get tons of waterfront because it's everything, like, it's all backed up. And so we had this cool house on the river. We went on Friday afternoon. We actually, Nicole took a half day. And so we went Friday afternoon. We got there, you know, around 4 or 5 or so on Friday. And, it was awesome. It was like a beautiful place, like great. You know, it was probably 150 or 200 yards to the river, which is really nice because there were some younger kids there and we, like, the parents didn't have to worry about them just running off and falling in the river. You know, it's like far enough away and, cool house. And so we did some tubing. It was great because we were, like, kind of close to one of the turns. So we were able to, like, walk, you know, 10 minutes and put in the river on the other side of the river. And then it would go a mile down, kind of turn the corner and come back up, you know, a mile or so. Mm-hmm. So, like, we walk 10 minutes and do, like, an hour and a half float, which is fun. So, you know, throughout the different families there, we all had different, like, things like lunches or dinners. Like, so that way, like, basically everything was covered, either breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Somebody was making it. So you had to, like, you make one and then you're able to partake in everything else. So Sunday, so we were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And we left Monday. Sunday morning, we are all up and we're out. And one of the older kids comes out and says to our friends, Kate and Sean, like, your son is throwing up. You know, he's down in his bedroom, he's throwing up. Mm. So they go down, and they're like, okay, you know, he's like, they bring him up, and, you know, apparently he'd been throwing up throughout the night, and Kate had told him, like, you know, because the night before he had woken up in the middle of the night, and he was, like, watching Peppa Pig on his tablet or something, and was keeping his brother awake and stuff, and she's like, okay, well, tonight, you know, like, you gotta stay asleep, you cannot wake up your brother, you know, like, don't wake him up, whatever you do, you know, like, if you're going to watch something, you got to put your headphones on, you know, whatever. And so, like, apparently he had been up throughout the night, like, woke up and vomited a couple times and never woke his brother up and did a really good job of not waking anybody up, but, like, suffered in silence, poor little dude. And so, so he was sick on Sunday. And we didn't really know what it was. You know, he throughout the day, he was feeling better, you know, kind of got out of his system. And he had a little bit of fever in the morning, but it went away. And then, so we all go to bed Sunday night. And when it was, like, his older brother started to feel a little weird when he went to bed. Like, he was like, I'm feeling a little bit nauseous. Like, I don't know what it is. So he goes to bed, not feeling great. Wake up in the morning, and our friends Brian and Liz both have, like, both woke up overnight. Vomiting, fever. Ugh. Kept him up throughout the night. Brian, he said he woke up around midnight and till about, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then his fever broke. And then when he woke up, and, you know, when we were all up at 9 or 10 or something, he was feeling fine. You know, it was just like, bam, hit him hard, ran through him. Liz, a little bit longer. So then we're like, we're all leaving Monday morning. And then we hear later that, like, their son had gotten sick when he got home. And then Kate got sick on their way to, like, up to their in-laws. And we're just like, it's just cutting down. Like, everyone who's there, everyone's getting it. Like, so it was, like, left over. It was Corinne's friend, Catherine. You know, she didn't end up getting sick right away until later. She did feel bad later, but she only got a little bit. And then our buddy Andrew was there. He ended up getting, like, a really minimal version of it. And so really it was, like, Nicole and Corinne and I, and then my buddy Sean. Not everyone was there. They were the only, we were like, the four of us were the only ones who didn't get anything. And then Monday night, or no, Tuesday night, like, I started kind of getting, like, the runs. And I'd gone sailing, and after the sailing, we had a sailing party, and there was, like, a bunch of fried chicken and a bunch of stuff that was, like, greasy. So I was like, well, maybe it's just that, you know, whatever. But then, like, I was up 3 or 4 times over the night into the bathroom, like, and then I kind of woke up and I was like, I never really felt, like, nauseous, but I had this kind of pit in my stomach that was, like, achy, and, you know, it's like, just had the runs throughout the day, which was no good. So it got me, and then found out later that Sean had a little bit of, like, similar type of lower intestine, you know, problems, but,
yeah.
And then Andrew, same thing. He got like a minimal version, which I said. So really, out of everyone who was there, all the three families plus our buddy Andrew, only Nicole and Corinne who didn't get this. Nice. So whatever like weird norovirus thing, it just like worked its way through all of us, just swept us out of the way. It was like, I'm coming through. It was
like country water. Just
it, exactly right. Yeah, something that house. Damn that house.
Damn you, but, Airbnb.
But I'm glad it like I said, I'm glad it happened. You know, Sunday and then like into Monday when we were all leaving, you know, so it was like, it didn't, is, you know, we had a couple good days. So everyone was there, everyone was having fun. Like it was great. You know,
that is the weird thing. I was talking about buddy guy. He, went like to a house and, it was funny. He went to Deep Creek Lake here in Maryland.
Oh, nice. Right.
But he, of course he got one of the ski lodges.
Yeah.
So it's nice, but it's, you know, you go to Deep Creek during the summer, you want somewhere on the water.
Right,
yeah. If you're going to spend that much money, which they did. I was like, you're at Deep Creek in the summer, way up in the mountains, in the woods. like no water in, you know, you don't know what's going on. You could be in the middle of nowhere. You could be in Baltimore County.
Yeah.
For all you know. But one of their kids got super sick.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just one of those things. And they were sick all over the place. So the people after you, just like the people before you, it can just, it'll continue on. Because people have vacation. And all the things you're touching, fridge, toaster, bed.
Yep.
It's just going to, it's brutal. It's it's a germ factory. Those
Airbnbs. Yeah, exactly.
Because they say they clean, they hit you with cleaning charges, but they don't clean as good as the little Puerto Rican ladies in like, you know, normal hotels. Hotels,
yeah, you know? Right.
They don't give you new stuff freshly wrapped in new towels. They just
right, exactly. That came from like the laundry room downstairs in the basement, the industrial laundry room. Yeah, exactly.
I know, but all right.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So that was a whirlwind, and then you know it's funny because like you know that was we were there until Monday, and then I actually had I went to back to work on Tuesday, and then took off on Wednesday sick. I was like, and I'm never sick. I'm there. I'm always there. You know, like as a teacher, like I feel an obligation to always be there, but I'm also just I just don't get sick that often. Knock on wood, you know. Right. But like second day, like man, but I did end up like doing a half day of work because. We had like a morning PD and then the afternoon was designated for doing these like online training things, you know, like everybody has when you start a new job. It's like, you know, security training and like sensitivity training and da 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 da. You know, it's all that stuff we have to do every year. So I had about like 4 hours of like video trainings to do. So I just texted my principal. I was like, you know, kind of gave him the lowdown generally of what was happening. And I was like, I'm going to take the morning off and then I'll, you know, I might come in the afternoon depending on my feeling or I'll just do the. You know, do the whatever PD stuff in the toilet. Afternoon. So, but I did. I just like went downstairs, like set up on the couch, like put my laptop on my lap, my headphones in, and just like got these trainings out of the way. So I was like, second day it was rough, but now we're back. Yeah, back in school. We're back. You know, keeps me in Baltimore, like less vacations during the school year and more time in the shop.
Back to the craftsmanship videos.
Yeah, man. And everyone who, like, for this next video that we'll be doing, you get, like, it's a pretty big jump from where the shop was in the last video, which was the bench video, to where it is now. Like, a lot of the stuff's put away. The shop's open. I've moved things around. Things are out and ready to go. So, it feels like a shop now. It's exciting. Nice. New lights up. Real, like, permanent lights. Although, I still need to add more because it's not enough light, really. We really want more light. But, yeah. It's cool. Good. It's good stuff. All right. You have a recommendation, Def?
Yeah, kind of an odd one. I got an EDC flashlight, kind of like your one. It's called the Wuben G5, W-U-B-E-N G5. It's the size of a what kind of lighters is that? The metal
Zippo?
Ones. Yeah, Zippo. It's like a Zippo, the size of a Zippo.
Mm-hmm.
The light goes three directions. Like, if you're looking at the main biggest part of a Zippo, the rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
It faces you, faces up, or faces the other side. And the clip goes the same way. It can go three different directions.
Ah.
So you can either have it on the side, you can have it on your hat as a clip, and then you can... Nice. So it goes either way. So there's there's a magnet on one side, so you can clip on something metal and have it turn any way you want. And there is a rolling light... brightness meter. on the side. Oh, nice. So it's yeah. a physical wheel. Instead of the tap, 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 it's zip, 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 you know, up and down.
Yeah.
And then the other side has a nice little slidey thing that locks the light, opens the light, and if you slide it all the way open, that's where you charge it.
Okay.
Really nice. Cool little, it's like a, sorry if you heard some clicks during this podcast, it's basically a fidget toy.
Oh, right.
All the little things, the wheels and the spinnies and the clicks and the mag, like, it's like really nice to mess with, but it's really nice. And then it has levels, you know, of obviously the light brightness, and it also has a couple different color lights. You can do the red and the whatever and flash and But it's really cool. It's like $25 or $30 you can find it for. It'll come in like a few weeks if you order it on Amazon, but it's very cool. I've had it for a few days now, and I'm really enjoying it. So the Wubin G5.
Nice. That's sweet. Yeah, I've seen a few other companies do those kind of like rectangular lights, you know, with like different options of where it can shine and stuff. And Olight has one as well that I've seen that a lot of people really like. That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
I'll send you a little picture real quick.
All right.
That's in the facing you direction.
There you go. Okay, right. So it's got the little tilting head that can go, all directions.
And that clip can it can go forward towards you and back and the wheel and then
it's really nice. Oh, right. I see the clip spins around. Oh, yeah, nice. That's cool.
Yep.
The Wubin G5. What's the lumens on it? What's it?
I don't know. I forget like what they say. It's very, I mean,
it can be bright.
It can be very bright. And it's a widespread, so it's not a focused beam, but it's a very, you know, it's good for most things, I think.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I like the, you know, that's cool. I like the simplicity of the Olight. You know, it's like it's got either the bright setting, which is 150 lumens, or the lower setting, which is 15, which they call the moonlight setting.
Yeah.
It's nice to have those two, but there are sometimes like that I'd like to be able to like put it down and have it aim where I want it. That's pretty cool about that. You know, you can just like set it down and aim it somewhere, which is pretty sweet. Like,
right. And you can kind of set it up, whether it's clipped onto something or magnetized to something, it can pretty much go in any direction you need it to go.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Right on. Sweet. All right. My recommendation this week is Andrew Burke from Burke Makes Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Burke is a buddy of ours from Maker Camp and from the Maker community. Awesome dude. But he's been doing this awesome series of making this kind of like carved mantle or lintel or something. It's got all these cool like Celtic knot carving type thing going on. And he's been doing kind of a series each day of working on it. He's doing this big carving. It's maybe 8 to 10 inches wide by maybe 6 feet long and like 2 inches thick. So it's like a big piece of lumber. And then he's carving up and down these awesome, like different cool, like carvings and stuff on it. So really cool series. If you don't know Andrew Burke, he's an awesome dude. So check him out on Instagram. It's at Burke Makes Stuff. And I'll put that in the show notes, but Burke is B-U-R-K-E. Burke Makes Stuff on Instagram. Check him out. Does cool things. He also has some really damn cool stickers. He has the Maker Man sticker, which is like him floating in the middle with all like these different arms with different tools and stuff. Fun stickers. But yeah, it's a real cool carving series that he's going through and showing daily progress on Instagram. So that's been fun. I've been following along. It's good stuff.
All right.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out. Once again, check out the Working Hands podcast if you want to learn more about the Maker Swap. But, you know, again, if you're coming to Maker Camp and you haven't done it, it's your first time and you want to participate, just make something cool that you're super proud of that you'd want to find the person who finds it and gets it and talk to them about it because you like it that much. That's the type of things that we want to have in the Maker Swap because I want to get somebody's cool-ass thing that they want to talk to me about. Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you don't forget to head over to Instagram. You can follow both Devin and I on Instagram at Their Craftsmanship and at The Other Camera Guy. Find out what's happening behind the scenes. Dev, you should post some like stuff for like your camera work with Scott and stuff. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you see what I'm doing. If you want to check out my new watch, the Timex Waterbury Edition chronograph, you can see it on Instagram. I just posted about it because I got it today. And head over to YouTube, check out the newest video of us making the bench for the new shop, and then keep your eye out for the Maker Swap hammer that we'll be doing. That video will come out before Maker Camp, and then ideally maybe we'll do like another one before Maker Camp too. So we'll try to get out a couple videos before Maker Camp. We got a month and a half, and you can find them over on YouTube. Subscribe, let us know what you think. And then if you want to support what we do here at the Art of Craftsmanship and the podcast and the YouTube videos and the content we put out, because we love making stuff about making and making things about makers, you can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there as well financially. And that helps everything that we make there goes back into the channel. So we appreciate all of our patrons.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's it. Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah, brother.
Everybody else, thank you all so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.